Hi, I'm Haley St. James. I'm speaking from the United States, and I'm a Coldplay fan.
Hello, human beings. Hello, aliens. Hello, people who are listening to Go Talks. This is episode 3. We are here for 3 weeks. This few weeks earlier, this didn't sound possible. If you said that this episode would be like 3 weeks long, I would say, nah, this is just something that is inside my head. This is never going to happen. And well, here we are, right? Today we're going to have Haley St. James, as you've learned in the beginning. Haley is from New York, and Haley have been able to be in a series of recent events of Coldplay, including a conversation with Mr. Chris Martin himself. That, well, it's something very, if you were alive on Coldplay Twitter, you know Haley, you know what happened, you have seen the pictures and this kind of stuff. But well, if you haven't, this is a very nice introduction to everything that had happened. And not only because of the people who were there, but it's nice that this conversation that we had with Haley is a great way to understand music of the spheres and what is happening now and how they are communicating things now in this era. This was a very music of the spheres episode, and you're going to see that this episode has a different structure from the rest of them. And talking about structure, this talk was so good and so many things happened in the meantime that we decided to record a part two of this conversation. So yes, this is Haley Wick on Cold Talks, and we're going to have Haley here today on Wednesday, if you're listening to this on the day of the release, and also on Friday. So yes, double episode, two episodes this week with Haley St. James. And well, I don't think I need to talk anymore. Let's go straight to the conversation, because this was a very nice one. If you were a Coldplay fan, or if you were a BTS fan, and it's here, we talked a little bit about BTS in part two. But well, if you were a BTS fan and wants to know Coldplay a bit better, and that's why you're listening to the podcast, welcome. I hope you feel home and know that you are very important to us. So let's go. I talked too much already. Haley, here we are. Let's go. So Haley, welcome. Hello.
Hi, Rodrigo.
I love how American people speak my name. It's just so different from what I'm used to. Because here where I'm from, my name is Rodrigo. And you're saying like with the R, like Rodrigo. And I think it's so cute. I think it's so beautiful. It's very nice. How are you, Haley?
I'm good.
Perfect. So we're here to talk about Coldplay. We are here to talk about Coldplay stories, to be more specific. But first, I want to make a small profile. And this is usually the greatest part of the podcast, because everybody gets so confused, and I would get confused too. But I'm not the guest. I'm the person who is interviewing you. So
okay.
So hand over the situation. What is your favorite Coldplay album?
Is that even a question? It's Viva La Vida or Death and All His Friends. Is that even, like, that album's my entire personality. It's been my entire personality for 13 years. And unless Music of the Spheres somehow contains a song better than Coloratura, it's not in any danger. If Music of the Spheres does have a better song somehow, then, you know, the world will end and my entire personality will shift yet again. And, you know, we're getting Ragnarok and the Rapture and the Apocalypse all at once. Nothing can top Viva for me. Nothing.
That's great. That's great. I would say that I'm very tied to you in terms of, like, I mean, if Music of this Year somehow has a better song, then it's the end for Viva. But I think this is very difficult. Viva La Vida was the first album that I bought with my own money, that I went to the store.
Me too.
I picked. Yes, really? Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. And I have another copy later. I bought the original one, like standard edition, like normal one. I think that was 2012. Maybe 10, and I got the album. I felt so proud of myself for buying that album. Like, it was just so beautiful.
Yeah, no, I bought my first copy like the summer it came out.
Wow.
It was, I bought it at a Walmart en route to summer camp, because I was going to summer camp, and I was like, okay, so I can bring like two books and one CD. And I'm like, well, I don't have the CD I want to bring, So I bought Viva La Vida at a Walmart, and I brought, like, I think that summer, I think it was the new Twilight book and, like, wow. one other book. So I brought two books and Viva La Vida, and that's all I really paid attention to that summer. But obviously Viva La Vida became my entire personality very quickly that whole summer.
Yeah. Yeah. Favorite album was not a difficult one, but what would you say about your favorite song?
I mean, I have a holy trinity, really, because, like, if you knew me before last month, my favorite song is Viva La Vida. Everybody knows that. Like, yeah. That's my brand. That's my anthem. Everybody knows it. I mean, I also, but as of, you know, as of last month, universe shifted. Coldplay dropped a 10-minute long cosmic prog rock song with David Rossi strings. So yeah, Coloratura is my favorite Coldplay song. Viva La Vida is very, very, very slightly below it. And then, because, like, I have a solid, like, top five at this point, and then 42, and then Charlie Brown.
Wow.
And then, like, from there, it just sort of always changes, because, like, my taste in, like, I mean, like, my album ranking doesn't really change, but, like, my song ranking constantly changes.
I get it.
So, yeah, but no, my top three are Coloratura, Viva La Vida, and Arabesque.
Do you have any B-sides on your top list?
B-sides? Yes. Things I Don't Understand. Oh, man. I mean, I love so many B-sides. Basically, every B-side from X and Y should have been on X and Y, like, as regular tracks. Yes. So, like, pretty much all the X and Y B-sides are on there in some capacity.
Yeah, I'm just asking about B-sides to see you break, because everybody breaks in any point.
I love B-sides. B-side slap.
Yeah.
Moving to Mars is a B-side. I love Moving to Mars.
Yeah.
I don't know. A few days ago, I was just walking and For You came on. I was like, wow, maybe Emiliano is right. Maybe For You is the best B-side.
I have a friend that she doesn't like Coldplay that much nowadays. She was a very big fan of Coldplay, but when they shifted to, from Viva La Vida to Milo Zalato, she was like, eh, and, well, what can I do? But she says that For You is the best thing that Coldplay has ever done in their entire existence. And, I mean, I don't share her opinion, but I really respect her, because For You is just amazing.
For You is a good song. It's a good damn song.
But let's talk a little bit about live concerts. We have a very specific live concert story that I'm going to save for later. That is the Today Show. But before Today Show, this year, 2021, let's go 2020 and F and B forwards. How many Coldplay concerts have you attended?
In total, from my first concert, which was August 3rd, 2009, which was also Brooke's first Coldplay concert.
Really?
Mansfield, Massachusetts, Viva La Vida tour, Comcast Center. That was my first Coldplay concert. That was my second ever concert. My first concert was a week before, and that was Elton John and Billy Joel at Gillette Stadium.
You started, like, in a high point.
I wish Coldplay was my first, as much as I love Elton John. Like, Elton John and Billy Joel are incredible, but I wish Coldplay was my first, because, but I saw Coldplay for the first time in 2009, Viva La Vida tour. Wow. And then I saw them on the Milo Xylitl tour in Boston in 2012. And then, obviously, I couldn't get to any Ghost Stories gigs because they did, like, very few. But I completely missed out on the Head Full of Dreams era in terms of live. So I never got to see the era live ever. So I always feel a little bit of a disconnect with that era in general. I've watched the Head Full of Dreams documentary, but I have not been able to bring myself to watch Live in Buenos Aires or Live in Sao Paulo, because I'm just so... It's just the era I miss, and I feel really bad about it. And, like, watching it, I think, would just make me even more regretful of the things I did in 2016 and 17. Because I did a lot of stupid shit then. We can swear on this podcast, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, great.
Don't worry about that.
But then my before this year, my last Coldplay gig was the Today Show, SNL in 2019, when they were Everyday on with Kristen Stewart for Everyday Life.
Yeah.
Which was one of their few Everyday Life gigs.
Yeah.
So that was my last one before this year. Brooke, and this year I'm clearly making up for lost time.
Yeah, this year you had enough Coldplay already. Give it to us. No more Coldplay for Haley.
Greedy baby. Just kidding. I'm not a greedy baby. I just me and Coldplay just really function better in New York, I guess.
Oh no, don't say that. They know where to find the best crowd of the world, and this is Brazil.
Love to go to Brazil and see Coldplay, actually. Like, that's, like, a dream. Wow. Like, I would love to, like, my dream right now is to save up enough money to travel and see them in other places besides
the
Northeast United States, because I just really want to explore and see venues in other countries and, like, see how live music is in other countries, because I've obviously only been to live music gigs in America.
Yeah.
So. Specifically Boston and New York. So.
And New York, yeah. I would like to be a roadie or something like that.
That would be fun.
That would be so much fun, right?
I just wish I could run Coldplay social media. Like, that's the dream right now. Like, let me run their Twitter. Yeah, let me be Phil's little assistant.
You're going to be
Bestie,
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, I think you're going to be great. That, I mean, people are mad at Coldplay right now because they released Coloratura and then vanished away. And I think with
their time. We're getting stuff.
Oh, come on.
Soon.
What time even? Like, I know we are very close to September. On September, things are going to happen. A lot of things are going to happen. I know. But come on. The last thing we had was like in July. I'm not complaining.
It was July. And it was in the middle of my, you know, I was working on that production of the SpongeBob musical. So I was so busy with SpongeBob, I couldn't even fully focus on Coldplay, which is, you know, I mean, it's fine because they're my two favorite things. So it's cool. But
you mean theater and Coldplay or SpongeBob and Coldplay?
Well, all three. All three.
That's great.
My three favorite things in the world are Coldplay, SpongeBob, and theater.
So I went to go back to something a little bit, because I was, when you talked about A Head Full of Dreams, and you guys couldn't see, you guys that are listening, but my jaw was on the floor. I was like, how did it happen?
How did it happen? How did I not really have anything to do with that era?
Do you feel comfortable to talk about that?
Yeah, it's fine. It's just, the album came out and I listened to it. Like, the thing is, I remember when Adventure of a Lifetime dropped. Like, I listened to it drop on the BBC radio.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
When they did, like, the first play of it. But the song they played right before it was a song by the band Everything Everything.
I get it. I
love
them.
Called No Reptiles. And I did not know that song. Did not
really?
Know that band.
I
heard
love
that song.
Them.
I was like, what is this? This
yes.
is such a weird song. I love it.
It's
and
one
so
of my
the
favorite
Coldplay songs.
Song
played, and I was disappointed. I was okay, why was the song that played before the new Coldplay better than the new Coldplay? I'm very concerned.
Got it.
So, like, it took a long time for me to warm to Adventure of a Lifetime, I think, until, like, the music video dropped. It was like, heh, funny monkeys. Song is good now. but I really was, like, into other artists at that point.
It.
And, like, obviously, theater was very much taking over my life, and that's what I was spending all my time doing. Like, I had just started college, pretty much, or, like, was in my second year of college, because I had two sophomore years, because I transferred schools. But I just did not really have the mental capacity to really pay attention to Coldplay that era, and also I just wasn't really vibing with all of the stuff from the era. Like, I thought it was, you know, it's Coldplay, it's still good music, it just was not the Coldplay I wanted, because
yes,
I loved
yes, I got
Ghost
it.
Stories.
I got
Ghost
it.
Stories came out right when I was going through a breakup myself, so, like, it hit very hard, but also just, it gave me very weird, I know not a lot of people say it has Parachutes vibes, but for me it does.
And only Oceans,
I really
maybe.
I just love Ghost Stories, like, as an album. I got the Target edition when it first came out, because I used to buy everything at Target, so I just have the Target edition.
Yeah.
So I'm just, I loved Ghost Stories, and for me, Head Full of Dreams was a little bit of a letdown, though I still liked it. Like, I think Birds is a flawless song. It's one of their best songs.
Yes,
like, that's in my
sure,
top 10.
For sure,
easy.
For sure. Up and
easy.
Up, maybe.
I love Birds. Birds is incredible. I think the Kaleidoscope EP is, on a whole, more enjoyable to me than most of Head Full of Dreams.
Yeah, I got your idea. And I had / have the same opinion as you until I got to the concert.
That's an era that I wish I saw live. Then I probably would have, my opinion would have changed.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I had a completely different opinion about A Head Full of Dreams before and after the concert, because it was on the end of the tour. The concert I've been to was the very last one before Buenos Aires. So I was like, it was their peak. It was the best thing that I have ever done in A Head Full of Dreams.
I bet, and it was
just like, and it was my first Coldplay concert, so I was like,
that's also really cool. Like, yeah. I think also another reason why I didn't choose to really like actively follow the band that era was because I was like, I've seen them live twice already. I'll let other people go. And, like, I got to see what is, in my opinion, their two best eras live, but also in general. Because, like, the Viva and Milo eras, those are, like, I mean, obviously that was, like, my heyday in the fandom before now. but, like, back then, like, those albums were my entire personality in high school. Like,
yeah,
everybody knew me as, like,
the Coldplay kid.
Are you wearing your Chris Martin jacket? I mean, like, it's just a military jacket, but sure, yeah, it's my Chris Martin jacket. Yeah. What of it? And like, I don't know. It's just those two eras are just so special to me. And like, and Ghost Stories came out right after I graduated high school, pretty much. So yeah. But like I said, Headful of Dreams came out at a really weird time for me because I wasn't focusing on anything except college and theater because that's what I was in school for. And that was what was giving me the most, you know.
Yeah, sometimes we don't have...
I can't really say joy because I was really... I was not doing well in 2015, so...
Yeah, I don't think it's a question of joy. I think it's a matter of maybe time and availability.
It was the time, really, because... Like, my biggest regret is basically all of 2017, I should have followed the band. I should have just not done all the stupid things I did. I don't want to get into it because 2017 was mostly a mistake.
No, you don't need to get into it. But see what you're doing right now. I mean, you have seen Coldplay only on 2021 more times than I have seen in my entire life. So I think you're
in the best. They weren't even full concerts. They were little mini gigs. It was two gigs in one day and they were both very short. So
yeah.
I mean, I guess, I don't know.
At the same time, we're very close to them, like physically close. And this is something to be talked about. Well, since we already started about live things and now we're commenting about the Today Show, I want you to tell me the whole story. How it happened? How was it? Was the band different because of 1.5 years of not playing? Were you comfortable being in the crowd? Because that's the first thing that I saw those pictures, I was like, how are those people? I live in Brazil. Pandemics here are a mess. Our president is a mess. Everything is a mess. Yeah. And I'm like, those people are just having a concert. And I got a little bit. Yeah, no, don't be sorry. No, that's not your fault.
I feel bad. Brazil is going through some real rough shit, and I'm just angry and just wish that we could change things.
Well, me too.
For y'all. But we can't.
I think we're going to change. But I'm also a little bit. So. suddenly, this is about politics, but
it's fine. But back to Coldplay.
Yeah, I mean, well, Coldplay is politics too. See, X and Y.
Coldplay are very political. It's true.
Yeah, but. I think we're going to change. I think like 2022's elections are going to be something raw and very difficult. But that's too many things here. There's too many things. Yeah, I'm going to start crying. This has made me cry for a long time already.
I'm sorry, buddy.
No, don't worry about that. But talking about the Coldplay concert, the first thing I really want to ask you was like, was it your first time with a crowd? There around you with lots of people around you at the same
time.
Since
everything shut down?
Yes.
Yeah, that was my first. I promised myself when I got vaccinated that my first live thing back would be a Coldplay concert, but I didn't know how soon that would be.
It was very soon, by the way.
I know. It was 3 months after I got vaccinated. But like, because obviously right before the shutdown, I was seeing theater multiple times a week. I was always in crowds. I was always, you know, busy seeing live events.
Yeah.
And so after a year and a half with nothing, it was so nice to be back in New York seeing a live event, but specifically the thing that like got me through the pandemic the most, which was Coldplay with a huge chunk of the fandom.
Yeah, lots of people were there.
That was just kind of put everything over the top for me in terms of just how special that day was. Like, even just the build up to that, like, I remember coming out of, like, I had an important Zoom about something to do with theater, and I check my phone, everything's blowing up, and I'm like, what's going on? And like, Coldplay are doing something. And this was when Alien Radio first was, like, doing stuff.
Oh.
And I was like, oh my god, Coldplay are back. Oh my god, oh my fucking god, Coldplay are back? Oh boy, I'm about to go feral.
Everybody went crazy that day.
For, like, you know, the next few weeks as, you know, build up to Higher Power and everything, I was like, okay, I know theater is important, but this is I've been waiting a very long time for this. I mean, you know, year and a half almost, you know, since Everyday Life. So it was just really nice to be like, oh, hey, they're back, they're doing this. But I'm actually with an active fandom who have been spending, you know, so much time cultivating internet friendships that have actually lasted. Because considering all the fandoms I've been in, the Coldplay fandom's the one I've been in the longest and have, you know, had the most consistent friendships, which is amazing. But so obviously when I found out they were doing the Today Show, like just in general, before they announced how you could get tickets, I was like, oh my God, I've been on the Today Show before. I'm going to just try to set aside some time and go to the city and, you know, just hang outside Rockefeller. Maybe I'll get to catch them. You know,
yeah.
I can stand out overnight. I did that for some Broadway shows when they've performed on the Today Show. I should do that too. And I was like, okay, like, hey, maybe Brooke wants to come. Cause like Brooke and I have been friends forever, and we did SNL Standby together, and, you know, like, we should do that. I don't know. We were, like, kind of planning stuff-ish, like, very early on, and then they announced that, like, you had to, you know, submit a thing, and they would call you if you won. And so I wrote a whole, like, essay, like, on my phone in about 10 minutes about, Coldplay have been part of my life for, you know, 13 years and how they've gotten me through so much and how, especially over the pandemic, like, they were my anchor, really. And then, you know, I was like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, if I win, that's cool. I'm still going to go to the city anyway because maybe I can still try to catch them. We'll see what happens.
Again, maybe they would change Chris Martin to you, and they would say, like, this is the one who's Chris Martin. Let him in. Like, let Chris Martin go to the call.
And then, you know, I was having a really rough week, the week that they called me. Like, I was just going through some rough stuff. I was not doing super great mentally for some reason. Like, beginning of June was just like, why? Why is everything so bad? I don't know why everything is so bad.
That's your point.
And then, I don't know, other than Coldplay, like, why is everything so bad? I'm not doing great. And then, you know, first Coldplay had that random Q&A. They were like, Chris and Johnny are going to answer your questions. And so, you know, I just, you know, impulsively tweeted at Johnny about the cake thing, and that happened, and that made me feel a lot better.
Yeah.
Because that's, like, my oldest contribution to the Coldplay fandom is the stupid running joke about Johnny loves cake. Like, actively my fault that's a thing in the fandom.
That's just
I'm
perfect.
Proud of it. And the fact that Johnny made it canon, like, was like, okay, that's cool. Nothing can get better than this. Next day, I get a call from dude from the Today Show. And, you know,
you're in.
My first thought was, when he called and he, like, told me the whole thing, he's like, you have to find your pod, like, immediately. You have to get your three friends immediately. Make sure they're all vaccinated. Text me their names, like, immediately. So first thing I do is just immediately think, first three people, okay, Brooke, Leck, and Saf owes me the jacket. So, like, yeah, I'll take Saf.
sure, I mean.
So, like, I DM'd them all, and it, you know, that happened.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, very surreal. I mean, we get into this, and then we know, fast forward to the actual week of the show. Obviously, I get into town a few days early because I want to be in town, because I also just haven't been in the city since I moved back to Boston, because I'm based in Boston. I'm moving back to New York in about less than 3 weeks.
Wow.
So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah,
but
you should.
So I got to the city a little early. Took like a day to just, you know, recover from the travel, because I hate, you know, travel exhausts me. So the next day, I find out that Coldplay are going to be on Jimmy Fallon, and I'm like, oh, maybe I can try to see Jimmy Fallon too. Because I had already, at this point, I got into the city, I got my hair cut, and I won the tickets for the Macy's taping as well for the 4th of July. And I was like, I don't even like fireworks traumatize me. I have, like, a phobia of fireworks.
Ooh.
So the fact that I'm going for Coldplay clearly shows
a
sign of mature. Like, it's like, okay, it's Coldplay. That'll make me feel better about it. And it did. And I was like, okay, well, I'll take Brooke because I'm already taking Brooke. So I figured that as much also because, like, I don't know. It was just easy because I think I knew Leck might have had work. I don't know. don't know. There's just the timing was very, like, specific. And who do I take? Ah, well, they're right there. Okay. So, you know, next day I was like, wait, Coldplay are going to be on Jimmy Fallon. I don't even like Jimmy Fallon. I'm going to attempt standby. So I get in line for the Jimmy Fallon. I'm like sixth or seventh in line. Brooke is like right behind me. And literally only one person gets into Jimmy Fallon, like the first person in the line. And then it turns out Coldplay pre-taped their performance on a rooftop the night before. So
they didn't even present anything.
So it was like, okay, so we just wasted, you know, a little bit of the day, but it's okay. So we just sort of hung out and then we realized, well, we have nothing to do and we just need to line up for the Today Show. And we weren't sure like how the standing was going to work. Like did it depend on how early you got in line was how close you were to the stage? Like we were assuming that. We were like, well, we have nowhere else to go. Should we just camp out? So we got to the start of the line. We started the line at 8 p.m. the night before.
The night before? You just left there.
We just sat there. Well, I didn't sleep. Brooke slept a little, but I did not sleep. and then slowly, Lek and Saf came. Saf came like maybe three or so because Saf was coming in from Pennsylvania and Brooke was coming in, and Alex was coming from Brooklyn, so like, you know, timing. And then like more of our friends from the internet showed up, and like,
yeah,
it was just nice to have more friends around to just, you know, keep each other company and like just bonded with the fact that, oh my god, our first live event back is Coldplay, and they're also the first live performance on the Today Show in a year and a half, and you know, it's their first show since the Everyday Life era ended, and so it was all very much kind of like the stars aligning for it, and the concert was incredible.
Like, did you feel anything different in the band about like how the band were behaving on stage because of like, I mean, 1 year and a half with a forced pause? This should be crazy when you come back to stage. How did you feel that the band were on stage?
Oh man, I mean, like, because obviously they had just done like the Brits in Glastonbury, but like those were pre-taped. And like,
and you know, those,
like they weren't playing to people. They were playing on a boat or to a field in the rain.
To cows.
Alone. So it was like they didn't have anybody to like feed off of. But I think when like Johnny, Will, and Guy came on for the sound check, like you could tell that they were like, oh my God, they're people and they're here and they're here for us and they love us. Yeah. And so by the time like Chris came on and they actually started performing fully, like the energy was just, it felt so mutual, like the love that we have for them and the love they have for us was just very palpable. Like the energy, you could feel the love, and just, it was very cathartic just being able to sing at the band. And like, honestly, like, I know a lot of people like were tired of Higher Power, but I can never tire of Higher Power because I got to be in the audience for the first time they did it live for people who already knew all the words and were singing it back at them. And like, I know that one pic of me and my friends at the front of the crowd, and I'm just, you know, crying my face off at the outro.
I love that picture.
I love that picture so much because that's exactly how I feel when I get to the outro of Higher Power, because that's just, for so long I was down on my knees till your love song saved me over and over. That's just Coldplay for me during quarantine more than anything, literally saved me over and over. So getting to experience that live and sing it back at the band,
it's like, surreal.
You can't beat that. Well, and then, you know, then immediately, like a couple hours later, you have to run to another borough of New York for another gig that's a bigger crowd. What?
It's too much.
But the Today Show was incredible. And, you know, immediately after, like, crowds started dispersing a little. I could have followed another friend who was there, and I could have met Johnny, Will, and Guy. But I'm like, you know, I'll meet them someday. It's fine. Like, it's cool that she met them. Like, it's all right. I got to meet Phil and actually talk to Phil.
Yeah, this is something. How was it? What did you talk to him? How was the conversation? Did he know you're from Twitter or something like that?
Phil?
Yeah.
So, you know, I got Phil's attention because, like, one, I wanted confetti because the confetti that fell everywhere and fell on top of Will and, like, everywhere. It was, like, on the other side of the barricades and I wanted some. So I asked a roadie to pick some up and he gave it to me. And I was like, wait, oh my God, it's Phil. Hey, Phil. And, like, Phil came over and, like, I don't know, like, I told him, hey, I don't know if you recognize me. I don't know. But I'm the one who tweeted about I'm the one who tweeted at Johnny about cake. And he was like, oh my gosh, wait, like, you're Haley, right? I'm like, yeah. I also, you know, you retweeted me. You also saw my Viva jacket, and like, you tweeted at me at Glastonbury. He's like, yeah. And, like, it was very surreal. And, like, you know, of all the things I could have asked him, instead of asking, like, anything about the album, you know, at that point, the Higher Power video had, like, recently come out, and yeah. I should have asked him, like, what does a musical orbit in three parts mean? Like, I don't know. I could have asked him anything.
He wouldn't answer you.
I was, you know, thinking about myself in the moment, and I simply said, hey, Phil, so I'm a playwright. I'm a theater writer. I've loved Coldplay for half of my life. I really want to write a Coldplay jukebox musical, and I was wondering if you'd give me your blessing? And Phil was like, yeah, write it first. Like, I'll just have to approve it. And I'm like, shit, okay, Phil.
They should have recorded that or something like that.
Wish I did. I mean, at least luckily enough, Saf, who made a sign that said, release the race, and like held it up during the sound check. Oh my god,
people are just so crazy. I saw pictures of that sign too. People are so crazy about the race, and I'm like...
The race?
But
Phil told Saf about how Chris had a dream about it the night before, and like they're trying to finish it. So yeah. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, maybe in a few years.
Music of the Spheres Volume 1, but
yeah, we're talking about Music of the Spheres more specifically later.
But that's just the Today Show. I didn't even talk about Macy's.
We have Macy's, but I wanted to start talking about something a little bit more, maybe more personal about how you see the band. You talked a lot while talking to Phil and while talking about how was it for you to be on the Today Show and about the last part of Higher Power, the author of Higher Power, about how the song, how the music, and more specifically about Coldplay's music, how it has being something very important to you in your whole life, and you said it was half of your life. This is a long time. Can you tell a little bit more about how Coldplay entered into your life? How did you see that? When was the time that you realized, like, oh, those four guys, maybe five, those guys are people that I want to track, and I want to follow them, and I want to be one of the big family. How was that?
Well, first time I heard Coldplay was, like aware of Coldplay. Like I remember, like, I guess when Rush of Blood to the Head came out, like, I remember, like, ads for it on TV, but, like, I didn't pay attention because, like, I was eight and, like, I didn't care.
Yeah.
And I think I heard Clocks on, like, an advertisement for, it was the Peter Pan trailer. I remember when they did the live action Peter Pan movie, they used Clocks in the trailer. And I was like, that's a cool song. I didn't know who it was by. I was like, that's a cool song. And then, like, I remember Weird Al Yankovic had a polka version of Speed of Sound on one of his polkas on one of his albums. I was like, that's a cool song. I don't know who it's by, but it's cool. So, like, I guess that was my first, without being aware that it was Coldplay, I was just like, oh, that's nice music. But the first time I was actively aware it was Coldplay was, when Viva La Vida came out, when it was first an iTunes exclusive, they did that commercial for iTunes that they aired during American Idol. And that commercial was the first time I'd ever actively heard Coldplay and knew it was Coldplay. And I was like, what is this song? Oh my God, I'm going to buy it on iTunes. This is amazing. I don't know who this band is, but I love them. And so I bought the song, and like, obviously it became my entire, you know, personality. But then, you know, the album came out and I bought the album and I loved it. Well, it took me a while to like fully love the album because like, at that point I never really listened to albums in full. I just listened to individual songs by artists. Like I would get greatest hits compilations as opposed to like regular just CDs. Like,
yeah.
I think unless like I was like a little kid and like I like Britney Spears or like the Backstreet Boys or like, I don't know, like I listened to a lot of like whatever was on the radio, listening to what my parents were listening to. Like before I was into Coldplay, my favorite bands were the Beatles and Queen and like a bunch of like 80s rock bands, but like only the greatest hits. Like I didn't know any of the deep cuts. Like obviously the Beatles were like kind of like, I was very obsessed with the Beatles in middle school though. I still like the Beatles. They're not my favorite band of all time, but I like the Beatles. I acknowledge how important they are and how influential they are. For me, I think Coldplay are my generation's Beatles.
Yeah, I have the same feeling.
And they've lasted
feeling.
Way longer. And just in terms of like not breaking up. But like I like the Beatles and I love their artistry and I liked how creative they were. And I remember like Coldplay were my first like real favorite band after like the Beatles and like Queen, and like Coldplay just kind of took over my life, and I went back and listened to all their albums after I listened to Viva like properly. And I was like, I love this so much. Like, this is amazing. Like, I love this band. They're so good. I couldn't really put, like, reasons as to why, because I was, you know, I was only, like, 13, 14 at this point. Like, Aviva La Vida came out when I was 13 going on 14. So, like Viva La Vida is my coming of age. Like, that's, yeah. like, I think of my growing up. And the thing that kills me is Viva La Vida came out, like, the week or week or two after my bat mitzvah. So... It's not on my bat mitzvah mixtape because I made everybody a mixtape, like, who came to my party.
That's sweet.
But there's no Coldplay on it. There's a lot of Beatles and a lot of Queen and a lot of Green Day and, like, no Coldplay. I'm like, okay, like, really, like, that feels very, like, I still love all those bits. I love Green Day. Green Day are amazing. Always loved Green Day. But, like, Coldplay came into my life. I think just when I needed them, because it was like really just my coming of age and like really like learning to appreciate music in a way that I never really knew how to. So obviously a year later got to see them live for the first time and that was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So and then, you know, getting to really be active in the fandom during that hiatus between Viva and Milo, like all the theories and the wedding album stuff and...
The wedding album. Okay. Well, hang on a second. It just triggered me with the wedding album. I can't handle that information.
I want it. I wish they'd release it. I get so sad.
Yeah. I was like 100%.
Good damn songs came out of that.
Yes, I was 100% convinced that the wedding album would be what became Milo's Agosto. I was just sure that's it. That's the only option that we have. Like, after Viva, we're going to have the wedding album, but we didn't.
Or maybe... We didn't. I mean, no. Technically, Everyday Life is the closest thing we have to the
yes,
wedding album.
That's what I'm going to talk about.
Chris has said. And I'm like, sure, yeah, I buy that. I mean, also just bits and pieces of wedding album songs have made it onto other Coldplay tracks. Remember that thread I made? I, like, actively tracked these things.
Really? I don't think
I track like specific lyrics, specific like music things, like mostly lyric wise, because Chris loves reusing lyrics.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, there's stuff like the fact that like there's probably multiple versions of The Race out there, but also multiple versions of. Because remember, we have a Kaleidoscope EP, but there's no Kaleidoscope song on it yet. There's the track that's called Kaleidoscope that's on Head Full of Dreams is just like. A spoken word track when like there should be an actual song called Kaleidoscope.
Song, yeah.
And there probably is one out there and
we don't know about it. We're going to have like UFO number 2 and something like that. Chris already talked about that. I remember on Milo era, there were some rumors going out that we were going to have an EP called Car Kids. Do you remember that?
Car Kids. I mean, Car Kids was going to be a song or something and that never really materialized, but it was like an element of the whole era.
On Viva. And on Milo's Iloto, we had so much on
visuals.
There
was so
visuals.
Much lost content, because like at least Viva, we got the Prospects March EP, but there's also like a billion freaking demos, and it's great.
And they're all amazing, they're all amazing.
I love the Viva era demos. I love demos. Demos are the best.
But when are we talking about
I collect demos. Like, that's a
collect
hobby
demos! That's great! Do you have like a file on your computer about demos? And
I don't want to say, as I said, I don't have a lot of space on my computer, and I don't really want to say what I have.
go play demos in a release that nobody has but you.
I don't. Phil is literally over here pointing a rifle at my head. I can't say anything else.
Okay. I hope that you get alive out of this.
I'm fine. No, I'm just saying, but Milo, I'm just saying I'm shocked they never did an EP for Milo.
Yeah.
Like an actual proper EP other than the Every Teardrop, which is more of a single plus bonus
track. Yeah,
tracks,
we'll have
which bonus,
even bonus
tracks.
Tracks.
They were just album they were just stuff from the album plus Moving to Mars.
Yeah.
So the fact that there is really no Milo era one and like Ghost Stories, I mean, technically we got the Skyfall of Stars EP, but those I got on the Target edition.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. We haven't had a proper B-side since the Viva/Milo era, because the Gold Rush and Moving to Mars were the last actual B-sides. Yeah. So, I don't know. But obviously, wedding album.
We have an EP.
But my thread tracks a lot of stuff. Like, I can always send that to you, because it's a fun
please,
read.
Please.
I go progressively more and more insane as the thread goes on, because I'm, like, noticing the tiniest little lyric things, like, oh, that was from Lethal Drug, but Lethal Drug was reworked from Wedding Bells, or I don't know. Like, there's a lot of stuff. Or, no, like, Lethal Drug was, like...
Lethal Drug is one of the releases it's demos that I really wanted to listen to. That song.
Lethal Drug is one of my is probably my favorite demo that I can talk about.
Let me just make a small parenthesis. If you are new to Coldplay fandom and don't know a hell of a word that you were talking about right now about wedding albums and I don't know. Let's try to explain it a little bit.
Okay, so the wedding album was supposed to come out. That was supposed to be LP5.
Yeah.
So after Viva, they were gonna do a more acoustic album, and then I don't know. I guess they weren't really happy with how it was turning out, so they just, you know, talked to Brian Eno and they were like, let's do this instead.
But we have one song from this wedding album that is Us Against the World. This was a song that on the Coldplay documentary, they talked about it. And in the documentary, you can listen to a version of Charlie Brown that was...
With the accordion, yes.
Yes, with the accordion.
Accordion Charlie Brown is so good.
I wanted to listen to that so much. I mean, it's only a few seconds
It's so good, but I can just picture the song.
Yes,
like that.
I can understand
like, really
exactly
the
how the
only,
song would work.
Well, Wedding Bells is one of the songs, because like Chris did it at an Apple event.
Yes.
And like... Christmas Lights, as we've actually only found out fairly recently, was actually supposed to be the closing track of the wedding album. Mm-hmm. But then they were like, let's just release it as a holiday song instead and just make a whole new album. That's really kind of how it turned out. And then Lethal Drug was a song that was, it was Love in a Lethal Dose that was supposed to be on the album. But then they just reworked it with Avicii and then just never released it. So that's an unreleased song, but yeah. It's out there.
It's out there on Deep Web and those kind of things. We're not going to talk about it.
It's a good song. I love it.
I like it too.
It's probably like top two or three favorite demos that I can talk about. But yeah, it slaps. And Revive the Wedding Album, You Cowards. where was I going with this?
We were talking about how you met Coldplay and how you decided to become a fan.
So yeah, as I said, so basically I was just, you know, very much like I got on the Coldplaying forums. Like that's where I like was like spending all my time when I was a teenager. And like I didn't write Coldplay. I didn't write band fic because like I don't really feel like real people fic is really cool. Like I love Chris and Johnny together. Like I am a hardcore bucking shipper, but I don't write fan fiction.
Yeah, this like, is Chris a little and, bit
like,
too much for
I'm
me.
I'm a bisexual Chris Martin truther first and foremost. Like I'm convinced that man is not straight. Like like he can't be straight. Why else would I have a crush on him? Like I'm sorry, I'm a lesbian and I have a massive crush on Chris Martin. Like that man cannot be straight.
I don't judge you at all. You're completely right.
I mean it's just most of my time was like, you know, just being on the forums and listening to the music and like theories about releases and stuff and like, you know, the times I got to see them live. So that's really how I got into Coldplay. They just came into my life at the right time and they never really left except for that brief point when I was so busy with theater that I didn't have time for anything else and really wish I thought about my priorities a little differently because I think I would have been a lot happier if I just got to see them once that era.
Yeah,
but it's okay.
I got you.
I'm making up for lost time, as I've said multiple
times. Yeah, we have New York era.
I couldn't be happier to be in this fandom because it's such a great time to be in the fandom. The band is 25 years old and still making amazing music. I mean, frankly, everything that we've heard so far from Music of the Spheres is exactly what I wanted from the band right now at this point. Because I loved Everyday Life and I still think it's an incredible and a very underrated album. It's like... As soon as it was over, I was like, and when we first saw that image in the booklet with the first like the first
music
like teaser for Music of the Spheres,
yeah.
I was like, is that some sort of like space opera? Like, I don't know what's going on, but like, that's cool. Like, I wonder what that's gonna sound like if that's the next album. Maybe it'll be like lots of cool space rock. Because at this point, I was also listening to a lot of David Bowie. Like, most of 2020 was me either listening to Coldplay or David Bowie, not much else. And I still love David Bowie. David Bowie is incredible.
Yeah.
Probably my favorite artist of all time who isn't Coldplay.
For sure.
I'm forever mad that they never actually got to properly work together because I think if Bowie was still alive, he would have thought Coloratura was the greatest thing ever.
Probably. Yes.
But basically, listening to Coloratura the first time, I was like, this is exactly what I wanted from Music of the Spheres when that first teaser came out. Like, I love Higher Power. It's such a fun song. But Coloratura is exactly what I wanted from the band.
Yeah.
That's why I'm so optimistic about everything.
My theory is about Music of the Spheres. We are, like, 1 month and a bit from the actual release.
50 days.
Some people are counting it. I wish I would have this capacity of counting the days and being so chronologically correct, but I can't.
If it leaks, I'm going to go on hiatus until release week because really? I don't want to, you know, because I'm weird because it's like, I don't love leaks, but I also, as I said, I collect demos. So, like, I'm in a very weird, yeah, like, I don't want the stuff to leak. I care about the band's, like, you know,
yeah,
you know, integrity. Like, last month when what might be the next single kind of found its way out into
deep web.
A certain K-pop band fandom.
Okay. I don't know what you're talking about.
Fandom hates leaks, so that's actually a good thing. So they're excited. It's just thinking about everything that happened, it was like having the nuclear codes. Like, it was really stressful, and I was like, if this happens with the full album, I'm just gonna not be on the internet because this hurts my brain and my heart. Yeah. And I worry about how, like, Phil is handling everything. Because, like, the Spain incident alone, I was like, oh my God, this was not intentional. Why are people saying this is intentional?
I thought that it was a little bit intentional. Well, again, for the people who didn't know about this. So Coldplay made a photo shoot in probably something else on Spain.
It was a music video. It was a music video filming in Barcelona.
Probably it was a music video. We have one picture that is already out that we can see on the internet that is from that day. And there we found basically everything about music of this year.
about
the planets and the languages and alphabets.
Everything kind of leaked at once because decided to explore the set.
But of course, it was open to the public. We have prints with the name of the languages and the name of the planets. It was all there. Nobody was there. Yeah, but it was there. How isn't that supposed to be like that? How was that a mistake? Like, oh, the biggest bank in the world. Nobody's going to look for that.
Crew missed a lot. And I mean, they probably weren't even like their personal crew. It might have been just local crew that they hired for the shoot. And they were very lazy and not, you know. I feel bad because, like, Phil and Pilar worked so hard to get this era's imagery so right, and then to have almost all of it revealed by accident, you know, a few weeks before the official, like, trailer dropped. Like, I felt so bad. At first it was really cool. I was like, oh my God, this is our Rosetta Stone moment. And then, you know, a few hours later, I'm like, oh, I feel really bad. But then I'm also like, as long as, like, they're not mad and they're just like, just don't do it again. Like, I was like, oh no, they're being really harsh. But then, no, I think they handled it fine.
Yeah. I mean, personally speaking about how I handled that, I was super thrilled to have that because I was like, oh, if this is already here, if they're recording music videos, we're closer than we think we are. And that was the only thing that came to my head. And it was just one thing that came to my attention that made me even more hyped for the day that they released everything, that they presented us the imagery from the planets and the languages and everything. So because of that, like, personally speaking, I know that for the band this is something else, but personally speaking, and I know a lot of people who also felt like that, it was something that made me even more eager to see how they would,
same,
like, yeah, how they would actually release that on the release day was something like way bigger than it would be, I guess, if I hadn't accessed.
Like, the actual proper release of everything was more than I could have ever imagined, really. Like, that trailer, the fact that we even got song teasers was, like, unexpected.
That never happened.
I don't think they've ever done that this early in an album release cycle where they just drop bits of music besides the lead single, and then, you know, they're like, oh, we're not dropping the next single right away, we're dropping the album closer, like,
10 minutes song,
like, you do you.
Just
and then,
out
you know,
of the
it
blue.
Turns out to be literally the greatest thing they've ever written, and, like, the fact that, like, it's brought the old players back in some capacity, and also, like, it's won over a lot of, like, very picky people. I mean, not Anthony Fantano. Fuck Anthony Fantano.
Oh,
sorry,
no,
Anthony
no,
Fantano.
No, 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 no. I like him, but not...
He said Coloratura was meh. He can choke.
He said something... He said worse things about better music, like, or music
but
that is just as good.
Coloratura was meh. Like, I'm sorry. That song... Meh, really?
Yeah.
Buddy, no.
I just can turn my head off when I see Anthony saying things, but sometimes he really says exactly what I'm feeling, so
that's
I stick to that. That's it.
That was just a really terrible take from him anyway. Yeah. But the fact that like some like metalhead found Coloratura and not only did he love it, he made it his song of the month.
Yeah.
Like I made my friend, I don't know if you listen to mashup music at all, but my friend William Morancy, he's done a lot of really good mashup. My favorite of his, he did a mashup of Viva La Vida and Panini by Lil Nas X, and I love that mashup a lot. It's incredible. But I made him listen to Coloratura live on Twitch. Because he was like, I'm taking requests. Send me stuff you want me to listen to. And I'm like, here, listen to Coloratura by Coldplay. It's 10 minutes long. And
he's That's like, the end of okay. the stream.
And then by the end, he was like, did Coldplay just drop Song of the Year material? I'm like, you're goddamn right. so, yeah. But the fact that we even got Coloratura is just a miracle. Because, like, I remember listening to like the little album snippets and I was like, okay, so like this stuff, that's cool. That's pretty Parachutes-y. I love that. And it's like, oh, this isn't Parachutes-y. This is like every era in one song,
yeah,
but with like
yeah.
extra strings and like, you know me with
perfect.
Coldplay songs with a string section.
Yeah.
That's like my biggest weakness. I mean, that's the reason why I love Viva La Vida so much, because I love yeah. like sort of like orchestral pop. Like one of my favorite bands that's not Coldplay is the Divine Comedy.
Got it.
Who were really big in the 90s. But like they still come out. Well, it's Neil Hannon. It's like his band. It's his project. But he still comes up with new stuff every couple of years or so. But last year it was their 30th anniversary, and they released all of their all 30 years of their discography yeah. In one box set.
You have
it? Very limited quantities.
Oh my God. You have it. Oh,
of course I
can
have
see
it.
I can see it. It's so beautiful. Yeah. I saw some pictures of the box set. I
yeah,
saw some.
Yeah, it's really nice. It comes with all 12 albums plus collected lyrics. And every album, it's their two discs. One disc is the main album. The second disc is every demo and unreleased.
Please, Coldplay, do something like that.
Coldplay need to take some notes from Neil Hannon, because I think they should do that at some point with all of their stuff.
Yeah,
but it's a really lovely box set. Highly
Coldplay.
Recommend if you can find it.
Yeah, I don't think Coldplay is going to do something like that until the end of the Met.
I don't want them to ever end, so...
Well...
But granted, this was a 30-year discography thing, so the thing is, 5 years from now...
Yeah, they're close to 30 years. I mean, I really think that they are saying goodbye
to us. I think Coldplay could get away
us.
With doing that. I think it would be really cool, and like
yeah.
especially because they don't have the singles, like the 98 to 2006
yes.
like box.
I
they
love
don't
that
sell
box.
That anymore, and it's still
it's
one of the things
expensive.
I most want.
Yes,
I want that. I want that so much, because I have pretty much all the other vinyl. I just don't have the singles.
You were talking about the Coldplay ending, and I know this is a sensitive topic, and I want to finish our conversation by talking about that, because I have a really... It is strange, but it's also comforting. I have a feeling that Coldplay is saying goodbye to us in the most gentle and beautiful way ever. I mean, they are 25 years old. They are making... They are not, like... I think when Coldplay... And they're going to end. I mean, they're not going to be a band like, oh, now we're going to make a 10-year anniversary tour of the album, whatever it is, the album. Like, that keeps returning.
Like, so many bands. They're gonna...
Yeah.
I think with Music of the Spheres, they're like, oh, this is Music of the Spheres Volume 1. They're gonna do 3 volumes, I think. And then they're going to... I think they're gonna do at least a really, really long tour... They're not going to release any, like, full albums after that, but, like, they're going to maybe release some EPs, maybe some singles, and they'll do a farewell tour. And it's going to be a really long farewell tour. They're going to tour for the rest of their lives and just constantly keep touring and occasionally making new music, but never full albums. I think after, like, whatever this Music of the Spheres project is, however long it takes.
Yeah, we have that 2024
unless Chris
thing.
Martin literally is incapable of ever stopping work.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I want him to keep making stuff
forever.
Because he's the greatest and I love him.
Yeah, it's every fan's wish. But I mean, we have that 2024 project that was also on Everyday Life booklet.
We don't know what that... The thing is, it might just be Fight for the Future or, like, Forward for the Future, which was some sort of charity thing that was, like... It was, like, some sort of, like, global goal to, like, do something about, like...
2024? Why?
That's in 3 years. Yeah. That's in 3 years. Like, the thing is, if Coldplay, like, release a new album every other... If this is almost, like... I'm thinking because the other... with the bands I love, I'm just thinking, like, Green Day, like, in, like, you know, early 2010s, they did a trilogy of albums. They did Uno, Dos, and Trey.
I know.
And I love... I will defend those albums. Like, 99% of those albums are amazing. There's
one band... I will keep my mouth shut.
I love those albums, except for one song. Really good. It's like Green Day did that. They didn't even really tour it. They just sort of did three albums 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
And they were all very good for the most part. And I'm thinking Coldplay might do something similar to that if in case they can't properly tour this era for a while, like they might just focus on recording more music and releasing it. And then they'll have so much material, they can tour it for a really long time.
Well, maybe that's what happens. I mean, I wouldn't complain. Might
I don't know. Phil, are you listening, bestie?
Please tag Coldplay on when this episode come out and into the specific timeline. Well, I saw some theories that we're going to have like, Music of the Spheres Volume 1 this year, Volume 2 next year, Volume 3 on 2023, and the final album on 24. Well, they deserve to retire. I mean, we need to talk about that. They're human beings. They deserve to retire someday, somehow, I don't know. But I would prefer if they were able to do something that were not just like, oh, this is the last album. No, I feel like they're building up to something. And then when they come to the last Coldplay album, it will be something that we somehow already know since the beginning. And I have a really strange feeling that this is what's happening with Music of the Spheres. Mm-hmm. This Music of the Spheres, them talking like... Because when it got to A Head Full of Dreams, it was very clear that was a time where they were able to say something that they wanted to say for a long time. Brooke talked about it on her episode, by the way. And it became very clear that it was another page for the band from that moment on. And I feel like if on A Head Full of Dreams they could say everything they can in the clearest way ever, now they are wrapping things up. That's exactly how I feel. Like, now they are...
I mean, even if, like, we don't even... It's like, Volume 1 is just, like, not a joke title, but, like, there's a lot of albums that are just called Volume 1, and they never make follow-up albums, and Coloratura is, like, a farewell song.
Yes!
Like, I hate saying it, but it's, as I said, it's the perfect Coldplay song.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes if that was the last thing we ever heard from them, I wouldn't be mad.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I'd be very, very sad, but I wouldn't be mad.
Yes, I get the same feeling. I sometimes wonder if they're going to make like three coloraturas, like an epic ending for Volume 1, an epic ending for Volume 2, an epic ending for Volume 3. I would be dead by the end of those, but we don't need to talk about that right now. So yeah, sometimes I wonder if that's what's going to happen, but I really feel like this is a farewell. It's going to take a while. I don't think it's going to be something like,
it's going to be a really long farewell.
Yeah.
Knowing the band, like, they're going to take their sweet, sweet time because they love us and they love touring and they're going to want to tour as much as they can, especially since they lost a year.
Yes.
Because of everything. And potentially another year because of everything.
Yeah.
And they're really only just focusing on New York right now because it is one of the few safer places to perform right now because of how vigilant they are about
everything.
You know, everything in New York. Because, like, that's why I'm actually really glad I'm moving back to the city because we are taking it a lot more seriously than a lot of the country. Like, we're bringing back the mask mandates. We're, you know, they're constantly checking for vaccinations at everything now, which is as it should be. Because I wouldn't feel safe otherwise. Like, why I'm so happy about both the Macy's gig and the Today Show gig where they would not let you in unless you were fully vaccinated. Like, you had to, like, constantly show your vax card. And, like, I always felt safe. Even with so many people, I knew everybody else who was there, too, was also vaccinated.
Yes.
And, like...
Yeah, that is something...
That's all I want going forward is, you know...
Bailey, thank you very much, very, 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 very much. It was so awesome to have you here. And
I'm so glad I could be here.
Yeah, me too. I hope we get back. And do you have any last words, anything to say? Last words seems like you were dying, right? It sounds strange. But do you have anything to say that about Coldplay, about your life, about your plays, about anything?
I'm really grateful the band has been in my life for as long as they have, and like the fact it is literally half my life. I got to the band at 13, going on 14. I'm 27. Like, literally half my life has been defined by this band. I mean, sometimes it's been more defined by the band, sometimes less defined, but they're still there. The presence has always been there. It's just really the past year and a half has been so defined by them that I really like, I can't imagine my life without them.
And yeah, I get it.
They've made me love music so much more in general, like just as a concept. Like, I'm just really grateful they exist. And I'm just glad to know that, at least from meeting Phil, that they're kind. Like, they're actually lovely human beings in real life. Because if I ever meet the band, like, I'm manifesting next month. I only have tickets to Global Citizen. I'm hoping to win tickets to the other things. But I used to live in the neighborhood near the Apollo, and like, if I don't get tickets to that, I might try to hang out around there. I mean, if I can, just because I need to thank them. Like, if I ever meet anybody in the band, like obviously specifically Chris, but everybody, because I love Johnny, I love Guy, I love Will, I love everybody in this band so much. I just want to thank them for just shaping me and just who I am as a person, my outlook on the world, because they made me a better person. Their music is so much about hope and caring about each other and caring about the planet and not caring about our differences and just embracing what makes us human and makes us together as people, as a species. Like, I love that this album is like being marketed with stuff about like everyone is an alien somewhere. Like, this album is so, like, I think this album has been like the culmination of so much of who they are as a band and their philosophy on everything. Like,
yeah.
Chris is a philosopher. Like, he's a G, he's a madman and a genius and a philosopher and a saint. And like, his outlook on the world is how has really shaped me in the past year, I think, more than anything, because I see all the injustice going on this planet. And I'm just like, I wish we could just all just forget our differences and just, you know. Just,
I think Coldplay can
believe in
simplify
love, man. Like, yes. Chris is so right. Chris is such a hippie, but he's so right.
He's a hippie. I love it.
I love that stinky hippie man.
Stinky what? Is he stinky?
I don't know. He doesn't wear shoes.
I can't picture Chris Martin being stinky.
I say stinky lovingly. He's a beautiful barefoot British man, and I love him. And
yeah,
he's the only cisgender man I have any interest in, because you know, when you're a 13-year celebrity crush, it's a 13-year celebrity crush.
Yeah, yeah. It's. I can't agree more with you. I think what you're trying to say, and my perspective, is Coldplay can simplify things that are really not simple. I remember, I always talk about that with my friends, and when they played Everglow, which is something that I don't really like that much.
I only like the acoustic version?
Yeah, they played the acoustic version, but before playing that song, Chris talked about how things were in the world, how things were in Brazil. And we were talking about 2017. Things were way better on 2017. But Chris talked about that, and he said that was the moment of the show, of the concert, that everybody should just send love to everybody. And I was like, this is so simple. This is just so simple. And sometimes we think that this is too difficult, or this is just too, like, ugh. Oh, we cannot send love to everyone. But when you're there, when you're inside that Coldplay world that just orbits around kindness and love and togetherness in such an honest way, it makes it real. And it's just something that I never felt with anything or anybody that same way. So the great point for me about Coldplay is that Coldplay makes things way more simple than they are. And sometimes they need to be simple. And sometimes we need to be simple as well. And that's the greatest thing about Coldplay for me. Coldplay makes things simple, and I think that's the greatest point. The big thing here.
They're just the best, and we love them, and they love us, and they love love.
They love love, yeah. Hayley, thank you very much. I hope you feel home here. This is your home. You can go back anytime you want. I really Yay! Like to talk to people.
Round two.
Round two. Let's start right now. We have a season two or something like that.
We can
talk about Coldplay in a new period of time with new songs and, well, with a different mindset of everything that is going on. Thank you very much. Hope we see each other later. And that's it. Yay. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Code Talks. This podcast is hosted, produced, and edited by me, Rodrigo Saminis. I also made the soundtrack of the show, which is original since season 2. Graphic design is made by Luis Eduardo Pinheiro. I ask you please to rate the podcast and follow us in the platform that you're listening to. It helps us a lot. Also, if you like Code Talks and want to support the show, please consider buying us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/CodeTalksPod to donate whatever you want. Also, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CodeTalksPod, P-O-D. Thank you very much and see you next week.